Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where Joyce teaches the Word of God in her practical, no-nonsense way, and we all talk about the real stuff of living it and hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and our friend Joyce Meyer here with us today, and you, of course, because sometimes you just got to talk about life with your girlfriends. So come on in here and let's talk it out.
Yes.
We were just learning some very interesting stuff about one another. Erin has a new dog that she is not happy with.
That's right.
It's going to be good in the long run.
Yes, it's a long-term investment that we have made. We're playing the long game. That's what I tell myself daily.
But today may not be the day that you feel great about it.
No. No, and people say, don't you love him? Don't you love puppy breath? And aren't they so cute? No. They're not. So that's where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And Joyce is now making our Talk It Out Day a fun date day after we're done here on the podcast.
Yes.
You and Dave go out on the town.
That's right. We go out and eat.
Cute.
Just eat and go home.
So, after a date day, for a date, what is a meal of choice for you for a date?
Italian food is my favorite, but you can only do so many noodles and still wear your clothes.
So. True. So you're a pasta girl.
So I'm very careful about that.
Yeah.
And we were all talking about how fabulous Jay's pants are.
Yes,
with the three different
textures on all of them.
And look at those shoes.
Girl. I know. Talked about my shoes as well. Like, they have a clear heel. And
your hair this week, it's long.
It's long. It's long.
Next week, it'll be short.
We'll see.
She's got some wave into her today.
I got a new crimper.
Oh.
Speaking of 80s,
yeah,
because you have...
My pants have stirrups.
You have stirrup pants, yeah. And I have a crimper.
Wow. And I'm a child of the 80s, so... I wasn't born in the 80s. Let's not be crazy. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, I bought a new crimper, and so we're just trying it out.
Well, very fun. Today, we're talking about a question that I think a lot of people have been asking themselves, and it's, am I enough? Mm-hmm. Can God really use me? Am I good enough? So many questions that go along with that. We've talked a lot about knowing who you are in Christ, which really ties to this. But I think this is kind of the next step beyond that is, okay, I'm starting to understand who I am in Christ, but there's always that but.
Yeah.
Will he use me? And do I have what it takes? You know? So this is a topic, Joyce, that you really wanted to talk about. You thought this would be a great thing for us to dig into.
Yeah, I really don't like it when people feel insignificant and they feel that God can't use them, because if you really look at who God used, I mean, Jesus prayed all night before he chose his disciples. Hmm. And I mean, they were like, one was a tax collector, and they were the most hated people in Rome at the time. And poor Peter, he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he had a little, I mean, most of them were just fishermen and just your average, ordinary people. And I was telling you earlier that we were in a conference one time, and Martin Smith from what used to be Delirious, they broke the band up, but he's Smith United now. And I was talking about how I almost failed English. I got a D in English. And here I talk to people all over the world every day.
Yeah.
And he said, I failed music.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, now how funny is this? Here the worship leader failed music and the speaker almost failed English. And God picks us to use. But we were talking about the little boy that gave his lunch, that fed the 5,000. Mm-hmm. And his name's not given. He just had what was needed at the time, and he was willing to give it. And he gave his lunch, and I always get how many loaves and how many fishes mixed up.
Because it happened twice. I'm like, which one was this?
Right.
Yeah. Five and two, and but they had 12 basketfuls left over.
Yeah.
So if you offer God what you have, here I am, use me. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to not be picky about how God uses us.
Yeah, that's good.
That's an important point, isn't it?
I think sometimes people have something they want to do, but it may not be what God wants them to do. Or I do think sometimes God will kind of test you and you start at the bottom, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's like somebody who starts at the bottom of a company and learns all about it mm-hmm. on their way up, and mm-hmm. maybe eventually they become the top executive, but they started in the mailroom or something.
Yeah.
And I know when I first felt the call of God on my life, I was so excited about doing anything for God. I mean, I went out on the street with my church on Saturday mornings and my kids and passed out gospel tracts. And I just, street ministry just was not me. I mean, I didn't like it at all. And I tried working in the nursery and didn't take long for me and the kids both to know that wasn't my call. And so you have to be willing to lay your hand to whatever is in front of you, mm-hmm. and then you'll find out what your exact call is. And most of the time, it's not a platform. There are more people that are called into helps and intercessory prayer ministries and maybe counseling ministries.
They're important.
They're mm-hmm. so important. And so the people that often feel the most insignificant are actually the most important.
The pillars.
We think if you're on a platform, that makes you the top of the rung, but that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. So we don't want people to feel insignificant. We want everybody to know that they're important.
Mm-hmm. I know that what you were just saying about people feeling insignificant, there are so many people who are doing incredibly important stuff. Moms who are at home with their kids every day.
Yeah.
I think of people in healthcare right now, nurses mm-hmm. who are not always having the most glamorous jobs in the hospital. You know, they're so valuable and they mean so much. And yet oftentimes people ask that question, you know, is what I am doing, does it even matter?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, even if it doesn't matter to a person that you know, it matters to God. The thing that we have to understand is as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, then it is significant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks about it. I have a teaching coming up soon, and I was, just this past weekend, I was talking about Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about Abraham and Jacob and Abel and just different people who did great things. But then it goes on down and it talks about all these people, their names are not given, but it says they were sawed in two, they were eaten by lions, and it says men of whom the world was not worthy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I hear these guys sound almost more important than the people that were named, but their names were not given. And I think we really need to get over, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And of course, you know, we might wonder, well, what does that mean? And I felt like that God told me, when you do something good, don't even sit around in your head thinking about how good you were. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. it's God that's working through us, and God can work through anybody that's available. You don't have to have ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just have to be available for God to use you.
That feels like a principle that works kind of on both sides. Like if you don't feel like you're enough, like when I'm at home in mom mode and I'm folding piles of laundry and there's dishes and kids and all that, it doesn't feel like it's enough. But God, this is where God has put me, so that is enough. On the flip side, if I feel like I'm doing something really great, come back down, but God, where does God want me? So it's kind of like walking that line in the middle to keep focused on both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah. Where people put focus is so different than where God does.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this when I was, you know, when we were talking about this topic, I was just like, okay, Lord, because I know I've struggled with this more now than I ever did before. Like, I never struggled with feeling like I wasn't enough or that I was insignificant, because I've always seen God do big things in my life. Even when I felt like, or insecure, anything, like, I've always seen him really show up with music, anything that I did. But after I got married, a lot of my life was, and I felt like this was the right thing to do, and I still do to an extent. I tied everything about what I thought God was going to do in my life with him and with my family. And so once my marriage fell apart, I've gone through a season where I was just like, God, like, I don't even know if I have significance of what I was supposed to do anymore. Mm-hmm. Like my, because it, like you said, you don't necessarily know how it's gonna,
sure,
you know, mm-hmm, flush out. Like I didn't know. I thought I knew, but now, yeah, but now it's different. So I'm like, I found myself, like, when people talk about relationships, I don't necessarily even want to chime in, because I'm like, I've a failed marriage, you know, like, yeah, it's just things like that where I felt super insignificant, super like I couldn't. But then God led me. Even this morning, I was reading about the story of Joseph and the coat of many, yeah, colors. I've always, like, Joseph's been like one of my stories. I'm like, I always felt like that, you know, like the coat of many colors. But then what really, really stuck out to me was even when the brothers took his coat off and threw him in the pit for him to go away, and he didn't have the coat anymore, mm-hmm, but he still ended up living out the promises of God.
Because, mm-hmm, God's plan didn't change.
Because his plan didn't change. Yeah. The coat was off. Yeah. So I was like, even though my marriage is off, uh-huh, you know, like, yeah, the coat was a gift, yeah, you, yeah, know? So like, even though that's off, that didn't change the promise. And that, mm-hmm, just really encouraged me about my significance.
Good,
that even without the thing that I was proud of and wore proudly, mm,
yeah,
it's, even though that's off now.
The, mm-hmm, scripture, Luke 1:45, just makes me think of that so strongly. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises for her.
Mm, yeah.
So even when the coat falls off, even when those things that you think are God's promises, yeah, disappear,
yeah,
standing on who God says he is and what he'll do for you, not who you think you are, everything changes. If we're blessed when we can hold on to his promises, mm-hmm, and believe that he will bring them forward.
That's so good. But in those times when things don't work out like you think, yeah, or the plan looks different, or what you think the plan's supposed to be, is when I question God in that situation, and I question myself, and I lose for a bit who I am so easily that, yeah, I can go there. So to stand on a verse like that, no, this is what he's promised. This is what he says to me. I nothing else has changed. That's so good.
Yeah. There's a Maverick song that I was listening to this morning, because I literally, after God dealt with me on that, I just started writing down some of his promises that he promised me, hmm, even while I was still in my marriage. Like, mm-hmm, and I'm like, that stuff can still happen. That's, yeah, still, yeah, that's still your promises. And there's a song by Maverick City called Yes and Amen. Like, it goes, all your promises are yes and amen. And so I just started saying that today. Like, your promises are yes and amen. They're still going to happen. It might not look the way I thought it was going to look, but it's still. So I felt this, like, jolt of, like, yeah, I am enough. Like, I am significant.
Let's all say it. I am enough.
Well, and, you know, you were right in believing what you believed. When you were married, you needed to put your whole self into it and, yeah, believe that God would use the two of you together. But when things don't work out,
yeah,
the way that even God wants them to, which we know is not God's will for marriages,
yeah,
to fall apart, but it wasn't your fault,
right,
in that situation. And something that God put in my heart a long time ago, and I don't know that I've ever said it on Talk It Out, but he told me that because he's God, plan B can be better than plan A, yeah, ever would have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, see, whatever God does next in your life can be better than what he originally,
yeah,
had planned.
Yeah.
Because all things are possible with God. And he does redeem things, and he gives us double blessing for our former trouble. He's a God of justice. So,
and you had, yeah, to ask those questions with your upbringing,
oh,
with,
yeah,
what you went through. You know, am I enough for,
oh, I certainly
for God to use
didn't
after?
Feel like I was enough. That's why I married the first guy that came along that paid any attention to me, because I felt like because I'd been sexually abused, nobody would ever want me.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly didn't feel like enough. You know, I was, yeah, desperate, grabbed the first thing that comes along, and that was just a 5-year nightmare, which I didn't need because I'd already had a lifetime full of nightmares. And the devil wants us to feel like that we're not enough, that we're never doing enough. Mm-hmm. I know we took a little survey here one time. What would if you could ask God any question, what would you ask him? And there were a lot of different answers, but the one that got the most hits was, how can I know when I'm doing enough? Mm-hmm. I think that's
interesting. When I'm doing enough.
When I'm doing enough. You know, for some reason, we tend to think God's never satisfied.
Yeah.
And he is. You know, the main thing God wants is for us to love him. And he's not nearly as interested in our doing as we are. You know, he wants us to love him and to be willing to do whatever he puts in front of us and to be happy.
Yeah. You know, I was raised in a home where I was constantly told that through Christ I could do anything and that God had big things planned for me. And I was, I don't know, bold enough to always believe that and to hold on to that and to feel special because of it. Not above anyone else in a way that we're all special, but somehow to feel like there's something amazing ahead and to kind of have an enthusiasm for that. And but along with that, you still walk through times, you know, whether it's in high school and boys or whatever else is happening, that all you see is your faults and all you see are these different things. Right. So I began to learn very quickly that I am definitely not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I am flawed and I am selfish and I am arrogant and all these different things, and really turned it around fairly quickly with that foundation that I'd always learned in God's word, that I don't have to be enough because God, it's God that makes me enough. Mm-hmm. So all those things that are so wrong with me aren't the reason God says that I'm enough.
If you could have been enough, you wouldn't have needed Jesus.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. He says that I am enough because he chose me, that I am enough because he created me in his image and he has a purpose and a plan for me and a hope and a future. Mm-hmm. So it's holding on to all those good things. And of course, you know, like you said, things go very wrong at times and you're wondering, where is all this going? You know, I feel so insignificant when many times people would discount me or not expect a lot of me. But I began to just love showing those people that they were wrong, you know, that I'm going to fight through because I want what God has for me and holding on to that and believing that.
Anytime something goes wrong, we take it on ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's wrong with me? It's my fault.
Yeah.
Something I find interesting is, we don't have any trouble at all believing we've got all these faults. But how many people are bold enough in God to ever think about the things they do right?
Yeah. It almost feels wrong to do that.
It's just prideful.
It does. But they're gifts from God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're things that God has given you. And if it's not prideful and you're thanking God for them... Mm-hmm. You know, I thank God that I'm a good speaker because I get to really help a lot of people with the word. And I wish I was a singer, but I'm not. So I don't, that doesn't make me not worth anything.
Right.
You know, you take the gifts you have and you use them to the best of your ability to serve God. And I want to say again, God wants his people to be happy. Yeah. Or to have joy, I should say, because happiness is usually based on what's happening. But the joy of the Lord is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so many people don't enjoy their life. And a lot of it is because the devil just gets them thinking about everything that's wrong with them all the time. You know, if I don't know if any of you still have any problem with this, but I'm sure some of the people watching do. I remember all the years when the first thing that I thought of when I woke up in the morning was everything I did wrong the day before.
Yeah.
Everything I did wrong the day before. And every once in a while, that'll still happen to me. And I'm learning to say, just shut up, devil, you know. Or thank you for reminding me. That just makes me that much happier about all that Jesus has done for me.
Yeah. This last week at church, so I did announcements at church. So I, it was real exciting, but I was so nervous. And so when I finished, all I could think about for an hour was, why did you say it like this? Or why didn't you say this? And then I had to stop myself and think, no, I did the best that I could.
Right.
God gave me what I needed for that moment. Let it go. And this is not what you need to worry about. But I could feel those wheels turning and picking myself apart.
Sure.
For something so silly. And there's a few times that's happened where I have to out loud say, stop.
Yeah.
And refocus on, you did fine.
I think people really need to realize that is the devil. It is,
yeah.
It is the enemy coming against us, trying to belittle us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's exactly what Joseph's brothers tried to do to him. You know, when he thought he was going to go fight Goliath, and his brother said to him, well, with whom have you left those few sheep? Mm-hmm. You know, not just the sheep, but the few sheep. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are? And, he knew that God was for him, so he went ahead and did what he felt like he was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But if you are insecure at all, or you feel like you're not enough, it doesn't take much of a negative comment from somebody else mm-hmm. for you to just give up and quit and think, I just can't do it.
That's true. You can you can hear 20 very nice mm-hmm. comments and one bad one. And it's the bad one that flows over and over in your mind that you cannot get out.
Right. That phrase, who do you think you are, that's a big one.
Yeah.
I struggle with that one a lot. Like, well, who do you think you are to have anything to say in this conversation?
Right.
It stops you.
Yeah, I just recently had to do a concert with someone that she actually won one of those big, like, contests.
Cool. Like one of the TV ones?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And okay. She is such an amazing vocalist. Like, she is very technical. She does all the right notes. And I know, for me, I'm not like that. Like, when I sing. Like, mm-hmm. I sing from my soul. I come from a gospel background. Mm-hmm. I just sing from my heart, you know, and I just let it out, you know? But all the way up until it was almost time for me to go on stage with her, I was like, heart was like, doo, 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 and I just felt so little. I'm like, I'm not as technical as her. I don't sing like her. You know, these are all the words I heard in my head. And I felt, every time I felt so small. Then finally, I stepped myself out. I went in the hallway and I was like, breathe. I can do this. God has given me God has given me this gift. I wouldn't have been offered this opportunity if I wasn't prepared. Like, I've prepared for this. Like, I am more than a conqueror. I was just talking. And then finally, and honestly, guys, this is how crazy it was. Like, Satan's so ugly. Ugh, I can't stand him. Like, I was in the hallway, like, really, like, big, affirming me, speaking the word over me. And I hear the song that I'm supposed to be up there singing, like, being played.
Oh, no.
I was like, I'm late.
I gotta go.
And I was like, okay, that's the song. And I was like, what do I do? Do I panic? Just go. So I'm talking to myself. This is how fast I'm talking to myself. Just go. So I'm feeling, but honestly, that little jolt of, like, I don't know what it was. It was Holy Spirit to allow me to step away and, like, just be human for a moment. Yeah. And I ran in and I was just like, so sorry. You know, like,
you made a big entrance.
I really did. I really did. But it honestly calmed me down a little bit because it pushed me out of my head and out of what Satan was saying. And honestly, I just went up there and I had a good time and I did my best, but I had so much fun because I allowed myself to not be so stressed about how good she was. I'm like, God, I'm good too. Like, you gave me this gift. And honestly, afterwards, everybody was just like, oh my, like, the energy in the room, like, went up because I let go. Mm-hmm. And I became instantly, like, when you were talking, I thought of the word Godfidence. Like, my friends used to say that, like, I've got a confidence that's from God. So Godfidence, like, it was like a God thing that I was like, I know. And I listened back to the little typing and I'm like, the notes went out there, but. But I know that my gifting is connecting with people. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the technicality, but we have to be okay not being like everybody else.
Yep.
You know, like, she was more technical. Her notes were perfect. Every note was spot on. But what I have and who I am and my personality, it connected with who I was supposed to connect with. Yeah. So
but
that was
isn't comparison a huge part of all of this?
Oh, my gosh.
It makes us feel so insignificant because we're looking at who everybody else is instead of what God is doing in our life. Do you know how I could be so messed up being on stage with Joyce Meyer at every conference?
really messed up.
Oh, my. Yeah. And
oh, my.
What I love to say is that when I am done, every time I get a standing ovation when I'm finished, it's because I introduced Joyce and they're clapping
She's
for her.
You're like,
but I'm like, thank you.
And here's Joyce. I have a good story that I think everybody can relate to. You know, I had believed God to do speaking engagements like forever from the time God called me. And of course, I was just doing little like home Bible studies and things like that. And one of the first invitations I got to go to something that I would have considered big was kind of a fluke, because the speaker canceled at the last minute. And somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody was pretty far down the line knew me. And they were kind of desperate for a speaker, so they invited me. Now, I wasn't one of the main speakers. I was a workshop speaker. And so all the speakers were sitting on the front row. And I'll never forget it. There was Reverend so-and-so and Dr. so-and-so and Prophetess so-and-so and Bishop so-and-so and Joyce from Fenton, a place that nobody ever heard of. Well, they wanted the workshop speakers to get up and talk about what their workshop was going to be about the next day so people could kind of decide where they wanted to go. And you all know I'm pretty bold, but I got up there and I was so scared because I felt so insignificant after they had introduced all these bishop, doctor, prophetess, reverend, and Joyce that I just thought, oh my God, the devil was screaming in my ear. You need to get your purse and go back to Fenton.
Or get your purse. I love that. You took your purse at least.
And get out of here and don't ever stick your head out of Fenton again. And I was so scared, and this is the truth, I opened my mouth to tell what my talk was going to be at the next day, and I was so scared that nothing came out.
It was like shocking.
It was like just this little little squeak.
Little squeaks.
I had a decision to make right then.
Yep.
And if I wouldn't have made the right one, I wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a decision to open my mouth and try again or to run off that platform.
Yeah.
And God vindicated me. The next day, we had so many people at my workshop that they were hanging out the doors. And we had brought, back then it was cassette tapes, we had brought all these teaching cassette tapes, and everybody else didn't bring hardly anything. So people were walking by that table saying, well, who is this? Who is she? Does anybody know who this is? And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? And I mean, they bought every cassette tape. They would have bought the tablecloth if Dave would have sold it to them. And so you have to not give up.
Yeah.
You know, even if you feel like the first time you try something that maybe you're not so great at it.
Right.
That's
even when
okay.
you do fail.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I look back now at some of the messages I preached in the beginning, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I wish I could get that back. You know?
Strike that from the record.
I hope nobody has a copy of that. And, you know, I just preached last Sunday, and I preached two different messages, one in the early service and one in the second service. And I was in Joel Osteen's church, which is one of the biggest around. And you got people up in the third balconies. And when I left, I thought, you know, I liked the first message better than the second one. Maybe I got a little bit too fiery in the second message. But I've been doing those so long, I thought, not going there.
Yeah.
Forget it. Been there, done that, not going around that mountain again.
Yeah.
Because if God wanted to tell me that something was wrong with it, it wouldn't have come like guilt.
Yeah,
right.
Because God doesn't guilt you.
Yeah, that's so good.
So when you start feeling insignificant or bad or little or guilty, that's not the way God deals with people.
Yeah. I think there's something also to be said about how we can help one another through this. Women supporting other women instead of being comparing or being jealous or whatever. We can help each other so much by encouraging one another and sharing the truth of God's word. I remember one time, and this was a few years ago when we were doing a conference, and when I came off the stage, you leaned over to me and you said the sweetest thing, and it's just helped me and stuck with me for the longest time. You just said, you do such a good job. I see so much of myself in what you do out there. And it just meant the world to me. And we can encourage each other in that way to say, Jay, you really connected with people on the stage there, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever it is, I see so much in Erin as she's leading people and how much people respect and love her. And to see the good in other people that they don't always see in themselves is
so
huge.
True.
Nobody's ever going to be offended if you compliment them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
And we've all had this happen. You say one kind thing to somebody, and then they'll say later, you know, you probably didn't know it, but you turned my whole day around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we do need to compliment people more, and we need to build people up more.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about women all the time. Let's talk for just a minute about men.
We do have a lot of guys who they're with us.
Do men ever feel insignificant? What if you're married to a woman who's got a career and she, let's just talk about Dave and I.
Yeah.
You know, Dave is not the one up front most of the time. I am.
Mm-hmm.
And people always want to know, well, how does Dave feel about you doing what you're doing? And he's just sitting down there watching you. And, you know, Dave found out in the very beginning, God spoke to his heart and he said, if you do what I'm calling you to do, you'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have joy. If you let her do what she's called to do, you'll have joy.
Mm.
When we try to do what we're not called to do, then we don't have joy. And Dave, he knows that he is my covering.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that he's like a supernatural protection for me. And we get along just great. But I'm also very much aware that when I'm on the platform, I'm the teacher, but when I come down off the platform, I'm his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And God told me a long time ago, you're not Dave's teacher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
And so you have to be able to separate your roles. Mm-hmm. You know, if a woman has a great job and say she's making more money than her husband, or she's in a position where she gets more attention than he does, she needs to use wisdom and build him up, and he needs to be secure enough
mm-hmm.
to let her be all that she can be mm-hmm. and not be in competition with her all the time.
Yeah.
We had this conversation years ago when we had our first child. Mike stayed home with him, and I worked. And that is not what you do. I mean, it's more common now, but even then I felt like that was kind of a new thing. And I asked him, like, does this bother you at all? Because that's not a common role for a man to have. And it was the same way that Dave responded to you was, I know this is what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. We know you're supposed to go back to work. You want to, and I want to be home. So this is where we are. And so to see him as the head of our home, be cool with it looking different.
Right.
Because this is where we saw God calling us to.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain what that did for my heart. Like, as the woman trusting him, that it's okay that our home looks a little bit different because that's where God has called us to go.
And he saw the value in that role.
Yeah.
When, I don't know, maybe somebody else might look at that and not see the value mm-hmm. in it. He saw it as a calling.
And he took it very seriously because he knew that's where he was supposed to be. So that was his job, and he did the best he could with it. So it looked different than the other men that he was friends with, but that's where he was called.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot from him in that season.
Yeah.
I think Dave doing what he did, I think it's been an encouragement and continues to be an encouragement to other men, because a lot of men really they're just not secure enough to let their wives be who God is calling them
mm-hmm.
to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave has been blessed because he's, you know, let me fulfill the call on my life.
Yeah. It's been really interesting now that I'm back in the dating world.
Bless you.
She's dating everybody. Yeah. She wants you to know
hear
that.
Hear ye.
Hear ye. Jay is dating.
I'm dating.
Call everyone you know. Jay is dating.
But it's been so interesting in the new dating world, like the balance between me really sharing all the things that I do.
Hmm.
Versus kind of holding back a little bit because I don't want to sound too successful or too, because I'm not like you know, or like I'm too much, mm-hmm. you know, because I am a leader. I do a lot
I would
of
hold
things.
Back a little in the beginning.
I have been a little bit.
I have been a little bit.
It's like peeling an onion.
Exactly. There are layers, lots of layers.
Without the stink. It's always good things.
It's just always great things. We like, but one of the guys that I've dated so far, he played professional ball. And he ended up hurting himself and had to quit playing. Mm. And so he's in a place where he's not feeling that great about himself because his dream has now been deferred. And so like there's been an interesting balance of like even on like dating him or like going on different dates with different guys. It's just like, what do I share? What do I not? You know, because I did struggle with that in my previous marriage where there was a bit of a clash because I was on platforms a lot more than he was, and later on I found out he wanted to be more on, you know, and so it's just like
use a lot of wisdom, honey.
Yeah, I need your help then. Help me. No, I'm watching. So I don't share everything I do. I usually I lead out with what I went to school for, you know, and just say like you know, I don't say all the other things.
I sing.
I don't even tell them that because they might Google me. So I just like don't tell them that even. Like I just kind of just say like you know I went to school for marketing. You know I start there and then if I see that they actually like me for me, then I slowly start sharing a little bit more. But I haven't gotten too far because I'm just now starting.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. When you are in a public role like you are or like I am, you have to have the right man. Mm. And I mean, I know that God supernaturally put Dave and I together. I mean, you all know the story. We had 5 dates and he asked me to marry him. And I was just Looney Tunes, so I always tell him he either had to be hearing from God or he had to be a little bit off, one of the two. And he said the first night that he met me, he knew that I was the girl he was going to marry. I don't know what was wrong with the guy, but he prayed that God would give him a wife and make it somebody that needed help. And I said, well, you got that prayer answered. You got some powerful prayers.
Be careful what you pray for.
Because I needed as much help as I could get. And we were married 3 weeks, and he looked at me and he said, what's wrong with you? See, we didn't date long enough for him to figure out I had all these problems. And I didn't think anything was wrong with me. I thought he had problems, and he needed to change. All I wanted him to do was keep me happy, and it was impossible because I wasn't. Anyway, you know, we had problems. Yeah. And but God definitely gave me the right man. And I do think when you're in a position like you are, God has to bring the right person.
Right. We all have so much baggage, you know? Yeah. I mean, we all have hurts in life. We all have different things that make us feel like we're damaged or we're not enough. God can no longer use me. I've made too many mistakes. I've missed the opportunities.
Right.
So, Joyce, let me ask you this. What would you say to any of our friends who are watching right now who really want to be used by God, but they're just not sure if they have what it takes?
Well, you don't have what it takes. That's the good news.
Yeah.
You don't have what it takes, but God does. And so it's so important to remember that you don't need to have ability. I mean, my voice is heard in 100 languages in 2/3 of the world every day. I'm not dumb enough to think the whole world is listening, but somebody is. Mm-hmm. And I almost failed English. And so I'm speaking 100 different, they think I'm speaking 100 different languages. I remember being in a hotel one time and there was a Spanish man that was doing some work in the hall and he looked at somebody with me. He said, oh, she speaks English too? He really thought that Spanish was my first language. So they do a good
That's
job
awesome.
You know, making me look like I'm speaking their languages. So, I mean, I can tell you that I am not in the least qualified naturally to do what I'm doing. I mean, I have a high school education. I never have had one class in public speaking. I never had a class on how to put a sermon together. God led me by the Holy Spirit one step at a time. And if you're just bold enough to step out and do what you believe God is calling you to do. And if it doesn't work, step back. Step out again. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people want to know what God wants them to do, and I always say step out and find out.
Yeah.
But you have to not, I always tell people, you have to not be afraid to make a mistake in order to find out if you're ever going to succeed.
Yeah,
you have to not be afraid to fail to ever succeed, because not everything you try to do is going to work out. Mm-hmm. But the good news is you don't have what it takes, but God does. And if you feel like God wants to use you, then mm-hmm. step out and find out.
I have another one. Can I ask her another one?
Let's absolutely throw another one at her.
Of course.
Okay. Go for it.
And Jay, you can probably speak to this more too. A lot of times when I am talking to friends, the ones I hear talking about feeling insignificant or not enough are ones who aren't married and they want to be, or friends who want to have a baby and God hasn't given them one yet. And that feeling, because I relate to that on some levels of like, I've thought I've done everything I can, but it's not enough, or he doesn't see me. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing I want so badly. So what do you say to that?
Well, it all comes down to what Ginger started with about knowing who you are in Christ and trusting him, trusting his timing mm-hmm. in your life. And it's not being married that gives you significance. Mm-hmm. It's God that gives all of us significance. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, I mean, I remember when I was in leadership at the church that I went to for many years, and then when God called me out into the ministry I have now, mm-hmm. when I would go to church, I wasn't part of the leadership team anymore, and so I felt very like I didn't belong. I didn't know where I belonged. But as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, it's not about what everybody else has. Well, everybody's married, so I should be married. Well, mm-hmm. maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe somebody's becomes a widow or a widower, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they think they don't fit in with married people anymore. But you really fit in everywhere if you have the confidence that you need and you're comfortable knowing that as long as you have God with you, you are more than enough in any situation.
Yeah, and last week I really tussled with something that was really, really hard, and I didn't share it with you guys. It was really, I had a really tough moment. God is so kind to me because he gives me like little nuggets to say, hey, brace yourself for this. I used to think it was kind of mean because I'm like, don't tell me. But then I'm grateful that he conditions my heart for what's to come. And he told me that my ex and his new wife are discussing having children. And it washed over me like, I don't know what, it was hard because my ex and I had decided when I had tumors that they thought could potentially be cancerous, I got a hysterectomy. And that was a decision that we made together because we had decided together that we weren't going to have children anymore. And that is one of the hardest things already, like even with dating now, that I talk to guys and I, like if a guy doesn't have kids, I'm like, well, then there's no way I can even think of dating that guy because he'll want kids and I can't. You know, and so.
No, but you can't think like that because maybe he doesn't.
Exactly. but that's what Satan was telling me.
Sure.
Like, that's just, I was like, you know, even though I still apparently have my ovaries or whatever, that's a whole nother talk it out. But, but I'm just saying.
Maybe we won't talk that one out.
We won't talk that one out. But I'm just saying, but that was like having that wash over me of like that I took that. That was a decision that I made in my covenant marriage that I was planning on being with forever. And now he's able to still have kids with someone else. You know, I felt so little.
Yeah.
I felt so like I can't.
So it kind of sounds like from what everybody here is saying that this is a battle that you fight pretty regularly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't be surprised, all of our lovely friends at home, if this is something that comes up on a regular basis because Satan...
Yeah.
uses it mm-hmm.
all the time
to try to belittle you.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. devil wants to make you feel insignificant and little. But with God, you are more than enough in any situation, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you've got a college degree or you don't have a college degree. God makes us equal to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of think about it. This is an analogy, I guess, that I've learned. It has really helped me when I am feeling insignificant, when I am feeling like I'm just not enough, that God can't use me. It's almost like being spiritually dehydrated, mm-hmm. right? And I carry this water bottle around all the time. Mm-hmm. And what I'll find sometimes is, you know, all day long, I'll just take little sips. And by the end of the day, it's still full. Like, I got nowhere. But if what I did instead is I'll purposefully take some deep drinks.
Yeah.
You know, if I make myself drink this instead of just playing with it and holding it and carrying it and thinking that's enough.
Yeah.
If I really drink from this, I'll refill it a couple times through the day and I'm no longer dehydrated. And I think that when we're feeling like we're not enough, it's the same thing. We need to really drink in the word of God.
Yeah.
Are we playing with it? Are we thinking, yeah, maybe it's good for someone else, but I'm not letting it soak into me? Or am I really drinking in who he says I am and what he has for me and purposefully taking some nice big pulls on the water bottle instead of having dry, itchy skin?
Yeah.
So
it's being intentional.
Yeah,
it's being intentional.
We have to do it on purpose.
When going through this season of feeling this way and really battling with Satan about this, you know, and feeling insignificant, I've literally in the morning, because like you said, when I first wake up, he would be right here to remind me of every failure, everything that happened. And I've literally now, before I get up, I say at least three things that I'm thankful for. And then I say affirming things, at least three affirming things before I get out of bed. Just like, I am loved. I am more than a conqueror. I am beautiful. I am success. You know, just it's intentionally taking those big gulps.
Yeah.
And not just waiting for it to just happen. You have to be intentional with it.
Yeah. Well, that is our prayer for all of you. Just like everyone's been saying, that you can really understand how big God's love for you is and how big his plans for you are. So we have a resource for you. It is a paperback book that you can get called Living Beyond Your Feelings. And we're going to make that available to you at joycemeyer.org/talkitout. So get Living Beyond Your Feelings, which is a great book from Joyce.
It sounds like I wrote that.
You know what?
I think you did.
I know the author.
And she's really good.
It's really good.
It's a good book.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Thank you all for sharing your lives and your hearts today. And just for encouraging all of us. God has good stuff
today,
for us.
So now everybody feels significant after hearing this.
Yep.
Feel amazing.
And whether you feel it or not, you are significant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.